Please be seated. Let's pray. Lord, we do wait for that glorious day. And today is a glorious day. We're here, we're in your presence, we're singing, and we have your word. It's astounding, Lord Jesus, to think that the thoughts that formed in your mind, that came out of your mouth, that were written down, are now the very same thoughts that we get to experience in our own minds. It's just astounding to think that. And so, Lord, may our souls come alive. May our minds come alive. May we be sharp and attentive to the hearing of your precious word. In your name we pray, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The gospel reading for this day is Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you, then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? This is the word of the Lord. Welcome again, everybody. We're working through the book of Ephesians, and we're in Ephesians chapter 3. And you'll see how this text in 3 kind of connects with the gospel lesson. But let me set up Ephesians 3 this way. It's a hinge chapter. Up until this point, the first three chapters, the Apostle Paul has been telling this baby church in Ephesus these great news of Jesus' love for them and how he's bringing two people who hate each other together, okay? And so there's a point where he kind of loses it. And I connect that story to my story. So I've been a runner my whole life, my whole adult life, but I've never run to music. And I've never really been ever a listener much of Christian music. And I don't know why, I just never do. So at Christmas, I got one of these ear deals, you know? And so ever since Christmas, I started running to Christian music, and it has completely ruined me. It has changed my life. I have better worship running than I do on Sunday mornings, I tell you this. So there's this one song, and it gets me every time, and I'm running, you know, in my neighborhood, and I'm bawling. I mean, I'm just bawling. I can just see the people looking out their kitchen window going like, dude, man, if it hurts that much to run, just walk, you know what I mean? But it's just this song. It goes, who am I? It's a guy's voice. It's kind of gritty and graspy. Who am I? Who am I? Who am I to be loved by you? It just totally gets me. You know what I mean? I don't know why. I do know why. Because his song speaks to my heart, right? And so you guys know these moments, right? You're in your car. You're crying out to the Lord. You're just pleading with the Lord. You're calling out to the Lord. You're asking for the Lord. You're celebrating something in your heart for the Lord. And it, doggone it, you know, it's like Jesus is in your car with you, right? You just know it, and you can feel his goodness and your warmth. And it's like, I don't know, somehow faith takes on a whole different measure in a way, right? So that's where Paul is at in chapter 3, the beginning of this text. So verses 14 to 21. Hear this. For this reason, now it's really, for this reason is all of chapter 1, 2, and 3. I fall to my knees before the Father, for whom every family in heaven and on earth delivers its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Paul is just at a moment, I can see him dictating to some guy writing down his words, chapter 1, chapter 2, now it's chapter 3, he's at the very end of chapter 3, and he just falls to his knees. He's just overwhelmed by the goodness of God and the love of Jesus. And he's praying for them. And he's praying them for strength. Okay? And the word strength is an interesting word. The Bible has lots of words for strength. But this word for strength is the word for gritty determination. It's the word for persistence. And it's kind of like you're in a boating accident and you're in the middle of the ocean and you're floating. And up floats next to you is a cushion. And you grab onto that cushion because you know it's your life source. So he's praying for them to have the strength to grab onto Jesus as a life source. And in the word power there, the next word is dynamite, that there's this explosive goodness. Hanging onto Jesus does some explosive goodness in your life. And then he says, all of this is to work on your inner being. Interesting, inner being. So your inside life. So this is like the work of your emotions, your dreams, your desires, your thoughts, your fears, your anxieties. For a Greek audience, this would have been for sure, your inner life would have been your ability to reason. It would have been your ability to tell right from wrong. So hear what Paul is saying. I'm praying like crazy for this credible clinging effect that you have in Jesus Christ so that he can do some powerful works on your ability to know right from wrong. For a Greek audience, it would have been conscience. The ability to have a tender, open-hearted conscience. For a Greek audience, your inner life would have been your will. You know, the ability to act and not just desire to act. For a Greek audience, your inner life would have been these sort of things. And so Paul is focusing on that space between your ears, the space in your heart, and he's praying. Because these things, for all of us, right, they're under attack. We're easily consumed by lies. We're easily prone to compromise. Our conscience, have you ever noticed this? You enter into a thing that you know is wrong. It's wrong. But over time, in the midst of it, our conscience gets dull. And so Paul is praying for their inner life. In verse 17, he goes on, so that Christ, remember, Christ is not a title. Christ means king. Whenever I read the word Christ in the Bible, I just substitute the word king. So that King Jesus may dwell in your hearts through faith. The word dwell there is the word to actually be a house. So that Jesus may house himself. You know, Jesus is not a hotel. He's not a motel. He's not an Airbnb. He is a house. So he will house himself. He's your home base. And then Paul goes on to say, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love. The word love there is agape. So you need to know this. When Paul uses this word, when he's talking about love, it's not an emotion. It's an act of the will. When Paul uses the word love, it means the cross. So that you're rooted and established in what Jesus has done for you on the cross. You don't deserve it, and yet you receive it in full. So established in love, may have power, there's that dynamite again, together with all the Lord's holy people, the saints, to grasp how wide, how long, how high, how deep is the love of Christ. And to know that this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the full measure of all the fullness of God. So what I'm thinking is going on here is this. Paul's in a prison. Vanita and I have actually visited a Roman prison in Israel. And it's just a deep hole carved out in the rock. A prison would have been about 7 feet by 7 feet and about 10 feet down. And there'd be little stairs. And so Paul is in a prison. But I think his imagination at this point when he gives this prayer is he's in central Nebraska. Is when he gives his prayer. And he's out on a hill, and he's looking over all of these fields, and he's just captured. The love of Jesus for my life is like this moment right now. And he can look up to the stars and how high he could possibly go, and his mind might go down to the bottom of the ocean, and is like far east and as far west as you can go, and he's capturing this entire expanse of this moment, and that's the love of Jesus for you. That's the love of Jesus for you. Let that just sink in for a minute. Wait a minute. Don't move on from this. That is the love of Jesus for you, okay? For you. For you and you alone and for all of us. And I think that's what's going on here. And he's just like filled. He's filled with the full measure of Christ. That's what I think is going on here. And then he goes on to say this love. It's a paradox. He says that you may know this love. And then the very next thing is that surpasses knowledge. Wait a minute, time out there. That you may know this love that surpasses knowledge. It's like you know the love, but you're never going to fully know the love. I think of it as like gravity. Like I know for sure gravity exists, but I have no concept of how it exists. And nobody else does either, by the way. It's kind of like that, you know? That I may know this love, but you know what? It surpasses knowledge. And then verse 20. Now to him who was able to do immeasurably more. So he's going to be able to do more than you can actually measure. We like to measure things, you know, like, all right, God, I'm asking for this. And we have in our minds what this looks like measured wise. But he's doing more that you can't measure it. More than we ask or imagine, according to his power. There's another dynamite word that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So Paul is saying, it's like, Jesus loves you so much. We know this from the cross and the empty tomb, that he's going to work in your lives in ways that you can't measure, you can't understand. It's not like one plus one equals two. God doesn't do normal math when he works in your life. His love is so immeasurable. He works beyond the things that are practical. He works beyond the things that are reasonable. He works beyond the things that are impossible. They're immeasurable. And it's hard to put ourselves in the hand of a God who does things that we can't quite figure out. Because when we think we figure things out, then our immediate reaction is when things don't work out the way we think they should, then there's nothing happening. Lord, by the power of your Spirit, help us to know that even though I sometimes feel very stuck, and sometimes I feel very distant, sometimes you feel very quiet, I just know in my soul that you are at work. And I can't see all that you're orchestrating. I just can't see it, but it's immeasurable. And so Jesus would chime in here with the gospel lesson and say, hey, even though you can't measure it, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, you know, keep going for it. And all of this is for the glory of the church. The church's role is to give glory to the God who loves us, died for us, rose for us, and who's working in all things. So that's Paul's, the word here for glory, which appears three times in this text, is the word doxa, doxa. That's Paul's glory, okay? We have a common doxa. I'm making the screen guy go crazy here because I missed this at the very beginning. We have a common doxa. It's called the common doxology. So I want us to sing this out. If you don't know it, do your best, okay? But if you mean these words, sing it out. And I'm going to start it, and I have zero musical ability, so you better sing out, or it's going to be awful. Ready? Here we go. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Come on, church. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. All right. So part of our worship together is an offering, and we say that it's more than just our tithe. I know that you're dirt poor, but we are a big church on tithing, of using our resources, even if it's $2, to glorify God in a rhythmic way, because Jesus wants to build gratitude and generosity in your heart. And I know a lot of you are using our website for that, and I appreciate that, but you got to figure it out for yourself, and maybe there's a cause that you believe in very much. But using our resources for the glory of God and not just using it all for ourselves. But there's also the part of every part of resources, like our time, our heart, our desire. We have sacrifices of confession and sacrifices of praise. But it's whatever it is, it's putting God's word into action. And that's what we call setting it aside. So this week, here's my setting aside for you. It's so easy you can remember it. I want you to find time this week to get on your knees. Find time to get on your knees. You know your roommate's gone. You know they got a chemistry lab. They're going to be gone. They're not coming back to bother you. You're in your dorm room. Get on your knees. Have your own common doxology, like Paul did when he got on his knees in this text, okay? Let's do that this week. Get on your knees and just pray. And let the Holy Spirit fill that room that you're in, okay? Let's pray. All right, Lord Jesus, your word has spoken into our lives. We've heard words of conviction and correction. We know that our soul can sometimes be dull. We know that our reasoning can sometimes accept things that are false and believe things that are lies. We know that there's an assault on our inner life. And we confess that to you. And we acknowledge, Lord Jesus, in the midst of all of our failure, your love reigns supreme. That we are forgiven, and the cross does matter. And so, Lord, help us to rest in your unfailing love that is immeasurable. We pray these things, and we pray the needs of this church. We pray for those who are struggling physically and emotionally. We pray for Vanessa in the need for new medicine for her arthritis. We pray for those who are celebrating a wedding, like last night with John and Amanda in the new gift of their marriage. Lord, bless them. We pray for the inner life of the students on this campus, that students who are struggling with depression, anxiety, and loneliness, Lord, that you would come to them and intervene and care for them and bring hope. And allow us, Lord Jesus, as your church, to be the very best of what friends are meant to be. We give people our time. We give them our attention. We take the first step, Lord Jesus, towards people who are very different than us, who might believe, behave, and come from different parts of the world. But we love people regardless. So, Lord, help us to be the best of friends. We pray this in the mighty name of our Savior, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. All right, our creed and our blessing, and you'll see why I picked them. They're together. It's Romans chapter 8. It's a great verse for us to capture this. Paul says this, "For I am convinced neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in King Jesus our Lord." That's the confidence we have. Let's stand as we close in singing.